So this morning we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's scratching the surface of what has the potential to be a great conversation and a pivotal one if we allow it to. This morning it's the person and the works of the Holy Spirit. When I was younger, we went to church with my mom, who loved them, like we loved the moral teaching of church, and we kind of went to this older building and it had this church smell. Like there was a smell, this old building and an old country road down this old way. It had this like church smell, and as soon as you smell, it's like a musty wood kind of smell, and you're like, oh, that's church. There it is. Like, just breathe it in. And so we went to church, and this church, when we were really little, they would teach us, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And I said, okay, well, that is terrifying when you say that to a small child, okay? So I'm learning this, and I'm learning in Sunday school, and every Sunday they would have some sort of coffee in the basement or whatever. My brother and I were little, and like all the other kids, we would go off and try to find mischief, of course. So we went upstairs in this old country farm church. And we would go down, and there was like the for some reason the whole sanctuary was on an angle downward towards this platform. There was these old wooden pews and this platform that had these chairs that we weren't allowed to sit in when we were young, and this old organ that they would cover with sheets, these white sheets, okay? You know where I'm going with this? These white sheets when I was little. And so if you were really brave, my brother and I would creep up the stairs and we would peek in the sanctuary. And if really brave, we would get up close to the platform. But we would never, ever, ever, ever turn our backs to those white sheets. Because if we did, we would turn and the Holy Ghost would empower those and they would come after us and we would always be afraid. And now obviously the Holy Spirit is not, you know, gonna some force that's gonna fly up at sheets with you in an old country smelly church. We're gonna talk about who the Holy Spirit is, and now I have a better understanding, so I feel like I can at least share some scriptures with you that will help my childhood fears. The Holy Spirit is not, it's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is in Scripture is never depersonalized, but as a force. He's never a depersonalized force, but he is part of the personhood of God. The Trinity, Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is three in one. And so what the character that we attribute to God, that same loving character, that grace, that for you and not against you, the support, the love, the forgiveness, the goodness, the fatherly love, discipline, and correction that leads us into making wise and good choices for our future, that is all the same character that the Holy Spirit has, because they're three in one. And so we can be fairly comfortable talking about the person of God the Father and the person of Jesus. We're very comfortable talking about Jesus, and sometimes we're a little bit more iffy when it comes to the personhood of the Holy Spirit. So we know that they are the characteristics that God holds are also part of, embodied by the Holy Spirit. And they cannot be separated, three in one. They cannot be separated, even in the beginning. In the beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, Holy Spirit was present in the beginning. That word, in the beginning, God created. That word, God, is plural. It's plural. In verse 2, it says, the Spirit was hovering over the waters. In the Old Testament, you can see that the Holy Spirit empowered people to do things beyond what they would normally be able to do. And a good example of that is Saul. He empowered Saul to be able to accomplish things that he normally wouldn't be able to. David was familiar with the Holy Spirit. He says in his prayer in Psalms 51, he says that, take not the Holy Spirit from me. In Joel, there was a prophecy in the Old Testament, and it was a prophecy that the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and that prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 2, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And we also see that Jesus prepares his disciples. Jesus prepared his disciples for receiving the gift that the Holy Spirit is. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to be among us, to interact with our lives. And so this morning we're going to talk about three different roles. My teachers in school would be very thrilled because there's a three-point sermon and that's just the way they like it. But this morning, there are three things that we're going to talk about. And again, we're just scratching the surface. And this is a great conversation to begin to have. And if you have questions, I would love to talk to you. And I'm sure Pastor Jason would be too. He's somewhere else. as believers, As believers, when we recognize our deep need for God, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we not only have accepted the gift of salvation, but also so much more by the grace of God. You know, mercy and grace give us that offer. Jesus offered us forgiveness and salvation. He says, all you have to do is receive it. It's a gift for you. You just need to receive it. And so much more comes alongside the gift of just simply being saved. There's so much more. And one of those additions is the Holy Spirit that he gives us. Jesus is considered, he considered it so important. The Holy Spirit was so important as a gift that he needed to prepare his disciples before he took on the cross. In John 16, there's going to be a lot of scripture today. I have this one up on the screen, I believe. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It's so important to Jesus that he prepares. He says, it is more important. And 3 years of ministry with these closest people, there's 12 disciples, and 11 of them are continuing on with this mission in the New Testament. So this closest friends after 3 years of missions, and he says, you know what? It's more important that I go, because I will give you something that will help you and equip you and empower you. It's more important that I go. It's to your advantage. Isn't God so good? Sometimes we're uncomfortable with change, right? And he says, it's to our advantage, to your advantage that I would go so that you can receive the Holy Spirit so much more to empower you and help you. And after the cross, Jesus talks about to his disciples in Acts 1. He records Jesus telling the disciples that do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it continues in verse 8 that says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. For what? So that you will be witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It is so important, and Jesus clearly expresses that importance in these and other scripture verses about the role of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at 3 different ones this morning. One of them, the first one is counselor, and the second is comforter, and they're so tied, they're so closely tied together, they actually help one another, but we're going to kind of separate them just because I believe that there's slight differences in the roles, but still the same value. So Holy Spirit, is a counselor. So Holy Spirit as a counselor, what does a counselor do? A counselor gives professional guidance. When you have a problem or an issue, or you feel like you need to navigating through a life problem, you would go to a counselor. Well, in the same way, the counselors of the Holy Spirit gives guidance to our present situations. He gives guidance to our decisions for now and into the future. He brings healing to our past pains, which allow us to experience forgiveness and know forgiveness, to offer forgiveness, and show us the heart of God and helping us understand his teachings. So the Holy Spirit gives us guidance to understand the teachings of God, reminds us of who he says that we are, and leads us into the things that we are meant to do and away from the things that we are not meant to do. 1 Corinthians 2:10, 14 says this: these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything. even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Wow. Wow, that's such a good verse. The importance of the Holy Spirit says, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will help you, and I will give you understanding of these things freely given by God. He helps us to navigate and understand the things of God. It continues to say, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit helps us navigate the things that are true. So when you go to a counselor and you have questions and thoughts or these past things that are holding you back from being able to move forward into the fullness of the future that you have, God in the Holy Spirit does that same thing. He brings healing from past experiences and allows us to move forward and guides us through those opportunities, guides us into those things. A reminder is the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. John 16:13-14 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will take what is Jesus and declare to you. All authority has been given to Jesus, and he gives us the power of that Holy Spirit through the authority of Jesus. So the things that the Holy Spirit whispers to you, the things that the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into, you know are from Jesus because they are the same, three in one, and they work together to complement one another, to lead you into the fullness of your relationship with him. We are called to a holy life, and the Holy Spirit helps us to navigate that. The Spirit of God gives us understanding for the things of God, giving us guidance to our life and how to navigate those things. And part of that is actually using what we would find uncomfortable, something called guilt. You know, the Holy Spirit, have you ever done something really wrong, like you stole your brother's something? I don't know. I used to steal my brother's headphones all the time, and oh, man, you were in for a beating. But if you feel guilty because you've done something wrong, that's actually really healthy. That's healthy. Guilt says that you've made a mistake and that there's a different way to do it. There is a better way. There's a right way. Guilt is almost like a tool that the Holy Spirit uses to direct us into the things that we are meant to do, the good things. If we do something wrong, we feel guilty so that we can come and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I apologize. I want to make it right. Right? Versus shame. Guilt and shame is two different things. Guilt says that you have made a mistake, and shame says that you are a mistake. Shame is never from God. Shame is never from God. Guilt says that you've made a mistake and you can make it right, that it's not an identity thing, whereas shame says that you are never going to be okay. Shame keeps you in the dark. Shame wants you to hide. Shame wants to keep you, your pains or your hurts or your sins hidden from the rest of the world. That's not from God. God says to bring them into the light so that you would find healing and restoration, right? Shame and guilt are two different things. Holy Spirit will never use shame, but guilt is a tool that will lead you into the good things that God has for you. The second thought is comforter, which is, again, very similar because the Holy Spirit will comfort you and lead you as he guides you into and through your life, right? But in this specific role, the Holy Spirit as comforter reminds us of God's teaching and truth. So if you've ever had a really bad day or if you've been in a really bad mood, and then this in the stillness, all of a sudden there's a thought, a reminding thought that says, be thankful. Or if you've ever had a friend that hurts you and you've really hurt you, he says, you know what? There's a whispering voice that says, love covers a multitude of sins. Or if you find yourself at work or at school and you're comparing yourself to somebody else of what they look like or their skill set, you're just comparing yourself, say, you know what? There's a stillness, there's a voice that reminds you, or all of a sudden words will come into your mind. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of things. And those words might sound something like, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When your calendar is so packed, a voice as you look at it in the chaos and the arrows and the sticky notes and whatever, that's what mine looks like. The calendar is so packed, but then the still small voice of the Holy Spirit whispers to you, come to me and find rest. Or if you're sharing your faith with somebody that you've been working with and sharing your faith, or with somebody that's at school or wherever your situation leads you, and you're trying to share your faith and share your experience with God, and a still small voice in your head reminds you, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Right? The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's teaching. In John verse 14, 15, and 17, and later in 25 and 26, it says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper. Another word for that is also comforter. We're going to look into helper in just a minute. A helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Later on, 25, 26 says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you with all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Isn't that helpful? Does anybody have a bad memory? Come on. Yeah, me too. Me too. There's some There's some guilt moments where I've had one time forgot a student at the high school. That's unfortunate. Like, where are you? Like, I'm so sorry I forgot you, because my memory is sometimes bad. And the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the things of God, we are immersed in a world that doesn't reflect him, right? We're immersed in a world that doesn't look like his kingdom. And so when it comes to looking around us, we can sometimes take our mind and our focus off the things that are maybe godly or the things of God. And he, his still small voice through the power of the Holy Spirit, brings to remembrance, oh yeah, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am called by God. I am chosen. I am accepted. I am qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. Those are the things that God whispers. He reminds us of God's teaching. He's a good God who doesn't want us to forget. His Holy Spirit reminds us of who you are and what you are made for. That still small voice bringing to memory scriptures that you may have read when you were a little kid, or there was a jingle in kids' ministry of a song and they just can't get it out of your head that day and it just circles around. And Holy Spirit has such creative ways of reminding us. I know there was a pastor here at one point that would say, you know, every time that they saw a heart-shaped like rock or a heart-shaped snowbank or something, every time they saw that, there was a reminder to that pastor that, you know, God is with them and never will leave them or forsake them. And it was just still small little messages used by the power of God to remind them of who he says that they are. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself will testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Again, in verse 26, it says that Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, and that when we don't know what to pray, when we're just at a loss for words and we just have a heart cry out to him, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He comforts us, he comes to us, and he reminds us of who we are. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened by the power through his Spirit in your inner being. He comes to us strengthening us, reminding us of who he is. He encourages us. He testifies that our identity is no longer in the world, but we are made new creations. We are his. Finally, in Acts 9:31, it says that in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church grew. So we've seen counseling that guides us and leads us. We've seen the comforter who reminds us as to who God says that we are. And in the comfort of that Holy Spirit, the church grew in Acts 9:31. The thing is all of these comfort and counseling scripture verses have something in common. And it's that comfort comes with calling. Comfort comes with calling. When the Holy Spirit is comforting you and reminding you of who God says you are, it's not so that we can just receive it and be like, oh, I have a big head now because I'm good, I'm awesome, right? It is for our benefit. It's for a reminding of to who he says we are, but there's power and purpose with that. There's comfort in who we are in Christ, but it's so that we can continue to operate in the mission that he's calling us to. Does that make sense? Okay, does not make sense. Good. Awesome. So that thought leads us to the fact and the idea that God is our helper. And this is kind of where I'm excited to speak on this morning. The comfort leads to calling, and the helper is where the calling comes in. When the Holy Spirit is given, it's to empower believers for purpose. It's to empower believers for purpose. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there's something else on top of that when he empowers us. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so that we can be empowered to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do. That we normally would step back and say, nope, I was an introvert. I did not speak in public school or high school, like ever, not just in front of people, just didn't like it. You know, he leads you to do things that you would never, ever be able to do on your own strength. Some of you are familiar with that. That you would never be able to do on your own strength. He empowers believers for purpose. And here's the purpose: to spread the gospel. In Acts 1:8, it quotes Jesus saying, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you." You will receive power. And again, it's not so that we can be really powerful and strong and awesome. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you to be a witness in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that we can be a witness. We're empowered and encouraged and directed so that we can live our holy life, a holy life that is set apart to God, but also that we would be able to operate in the things that have come alongside the Great Commission that he calls us to, of sharing our faith. And it really is more simple than we sometimes get into, but I want to share the experience of the new disciples, or the disciples in Acts 2. It says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the Holy Spirit was there, given amongst them. Jesus warned, or not warned, he prepared his disciples that this was coming. And he told them that this is so important that do not leave Jerusalem until this happens. Don't leave Jerusalem until you've received the gift that the Father has for you. And this is the demonstration of them receiving the gift. And it was an experience for sure. They heard the wind. They heard the wind. They saw tongues like burning fire. They could see it. They could hear it. And they could experience it within their own self when they had tongues speaking in other tongues. It was an experience for sure. It was an encounter with God, for sure. But there was also great power and purpose behind this. It wasn't just so that they would be filled and then stay amongst themselves to celebrate and to cheer, but it was for them to go out into the world. It was for them to go out and share and spread the gospel. It was an experience by the believers who obeyed the instruction of Jesus and waited on his Holy Spirit for purpose. It later continues that as they were speaking in other tongues, there was other people that came from, says, the every nation under heaven. So there was a lot of people there of all kinds of different backgrounds who spoke all kinds of different languages. And the miracle is that they could all understand each other. And that was pretty mind-blowing for some of them. They said that they were amazed. The people in verse 12 says that they were amazed. And other people thought they were crazy. Says that they thought that they were drunk. It was 9 a.m. Peter corrected them soon after. But Peter speaks at that point. So there's this crazy outbreak at church. Imagine it. Crazy outbreak of church, and church, and God's doing incredible things. And they're experiencing through their sight, through their ears, and through their personhood as they speak out the power of the Holy Spirit. But then, as people ask questions, as people are confused, as people are amazed, Peter stands up in front of the crowd and addresses them. And he addresses them with such clarity. He says, this is the Old Testament. He lays it all out. It's pretty awesome. in Joel, this is the Old Testament prophecy that you're seeing right now being fulfilled. And Jesus, the guy that you put on a cross, he was the Messiah. And he was the one that you were waiting for. And so he goes and he literally, this is the birthplace of the gospel, sharing the good news as he had this opportunity, maybe as the first one, and he says, this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done for you. And then this happens. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The crowd is in awe and wondering, and he brings clarity, shares the gospel, and that says later that 3,000 people were added to their numbers. Come on, 3,000 people at the very, very moment that they were empowered by the presence of God, not just so that they would stay closed in and celebrate with one another, but that they would be empowered to go out and spread the word of God. That's incredible. Holy Spirit empowers us to do ministry. There's a quote, and I'm going to butcher it, but I'm going to say it anyways. There's a quote that says that the Holy Spirit did not come to make Christians weird. The Holy Spirit came to make Christians effective in their community. Yes. Yes. So what is the Holy Spirit empowering you to do? We've given our lives to the Lord. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to navigate a holy life and encourages us and reminds us of who God says that we are through him, our new creation. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to go out and do ministry. So what is the Holy Spirit empowering you to do? Many consider themselves not qualified to share their faith, but Mark 13:11 talks about how it's not us speaking anyway. It's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us words to say as we witness and share our faith and encourage others. Your testimony itself is a statement of what God's done in your life. It's a statement of who God says you are and how he's moved. Your testimony is powerful. And it has the power to be used by God to witness to other people. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 2, he says that my speech and my message are not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It's not my words. It's not just someone standing up in front of you and trying to be smart or wise. It's the impartation of the Holy Spirit. It's the wisdom that God gives us, that it's his message that we just have to share. The words are already written. We just need to share. So my question is, what is he empowering you to do today or tomorrow or this week at school, at work, at home? What is he empowering you to do? And the best part is that you say, oh, I can't do those things. I can't do it. That's the best part, is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers us to do things through his power that we normally wouldn't be able to do. I want to leave you with these words. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, that it is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his purposes and grace. This grace has been given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, and now it has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I mean, if you were in a bad mood coming to church, just read that scripture again. I'll give it to you on your side note. God has set us free. He has empowered us to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church grows. The church grows simply by us being empowered to go out and share the gospel.